listening to Radio Arian at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to Arian Insights. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and I'm very pleased to welcome to us today a long-time nationalist. He's been a nationalist for over 40 years. He was the deputy chairman of the BNP. He's currently the National Front candidate for Carl Shalton. He's an advocate and supporter for revisionist historians everywhere, and has been called by some a national treasure or a nationalist treasure. And I'm talking about Mr. Richard Edmonds. Richard Edmonds, welcome to Arian Insights. How are you today?
Well, it's shining here in London town. The rain, we've had rain for months on end. The rain at last has stopped falling out the sky. There's a lovely blue sky. It's a lovely cold winter's day here in London. I am very well, and I'm very pleased to be on your radio show, Sven, and I understand that we're going to talk about the need for white nationalism.
Yes, indeed. A very important subject that more and more people are becoming interested in. So why don't you explain some of these reasons why we need to have white nationalism, Richard?
Right, yes. There is a need, there is a definite, most definite need for whites to defend their countries. There is a most definite need for whites to defend their societies and their communities, to defend their heritage and their destinies. In a word, there is an absolute need for whites to defend their white race. And I'm very, very happy to be talking to you, Sven, today on your radio show, so that we can alert the white world to the dangers that that face them. The fact is that we whites, during the course of our history, have had all sorts of ups and downs. We've had wars and civil wars. We've had plagues, invasions. What one might call the four riders of the apocalypse, plague and disease, war, famine and death, they have wreaked havoc on us and on our forebears in the past. That's a fact. But never, never, never has the white race faced the prospect of disappearing from the face of the earth. Yes, I know, Sven, and dear listeners of yours, I know that's very strong words, the white race disappearing from the face of the earth. But let us be brave, because our ancestors were brave, and we need to be brave, brave enough to face the truth, and let us use our God-given intelligence, because we are a very intelligent people. We have created, our engineers, our scientists, our great men have created this modern world. Everybody is very happy to fly around in aeroplanes. They're very happy to use computers and mobile phones. They're very happy to make use of modern medicine. But who invented and who discovered? White men. White men and white men, only white men. Who discovered that the world was a sphere flying through empty space? Christopher Columbus and these other great explorers, mathematicians, scientists. We whites created this modern world. And yet the fact is, if we look the cold facts in the eye, if we examine the direction in which we, the white race, is headed, we are headed for our extinction as a race. If present trends continue, if one extrapolates logically, mathematically, present trends, then the end point is the extinction of the white race. That is, there'll be no more white children, there'll be no more white people, there'll be no more white future, if things continue as they have for the last half century. Now, let me say here, Sven, I happen to be 73 years of age now, quite amazing, but there you are. I never thought I'd be 73 at one stage, but believe me, if you live long enough, you get to reach 73, yeah? That's mathematics for you. But let me, I mention my age, because I am one of the lucky ones in that I am old enough to remember to have lived in and grown up in a white Britain. That was 50 years ago, when I was a young fellow, growing up here in London. And I, and all my generation, we have seen London, Birmingham, Manchester, and all our major British cities transformed, and transformed for the worst, transformed for the much worse. 50 years ago, Great Britain was effectively 100% white British country. 50 years ago, there were effectively no coloureds, no blacks, no browns, no yellows. And on the very positive side of society, every able-bodied person had a job and was expected to work. There were no benefit scroungers, because benefit scrounging was not permitted. And there was law and order on our streets and in our cities. And we did not have the word mugger in our vocabulary, because there were no muggers on our streets. In 50 years, that civilized state of things has completely changed, and changed beyond recognition. I will say here, Sven, I'm giving you a radio broadcast. I have listened to very, very many of Dr. William Pierce's radio broadcasts. Now, that man really could address an audience. And I met Dr. William Pierce. He came to Britain sometime in the, about 97, I think it was. A great man. You may know that Dr. William Pierce had a PhD in physics. He'd been an atomic physicist, a highly intelligent man. And I have listened to many of his speeches, recordings of them. And I do hope that the listeners might think that if they got a high opinion of Dr. William Pierce, they might even give me a little bit of recognition. Well, I'm doing my best. But the fact is, and this is burnt into my very being as an Englishman and as a white man, I have two identities. I'm English hyphen British, but I'm also a white man. And I campaign for the English British, and I campaign for the Brit and the white race. So, in 50 years, our civilized state of things has changed completely, and changed completely beyond recognition. If you were to visit many parts of Britain's major cities now, you might think that you were in Kingston, Jamaica, because there's so many West Indians. Or you might think that you were in Karachi, Pakistan, because there's so many Pakistanis. Or you might think that you were in New Delhi, India, or in Timbuktu, Central Africa. Where there was once law and order, there is now social alienation, where the British don't even feel themselves at home. How could you feel at home in a suburb that looks like New Delhi, India, where the whites are openly despised as idiots and fools? So, where there was once patriotism and law and order, there is now social alienation, crime, the fear of crime, muggings and riots. And the truth is that our British civilization is now in danger of collapsing in the inner areas of our great cities. Anyone can see that. Visit any of our great cities and you can see that. 50 years of mass coloured third world immigration has changed our British cities and changed them for much worse. And the fact is, the very important fact, the very important cultural fact, sociological fact and political fact is that the British people never wanted this immigration. From day one, they did not want imported into Britain the well-known and notorious race problems of the United States of America. 1850s Britain was an all-white country, and the people did not want Britain, or rather, they didn't want Britain to change. The British people wanted Britain to remain an all-white country. And because in the 1950s, the British people knew all about the race problems of the US of A. They knew all about the Jim Crow laws, the colour bar. They knew about the apartheid laws in South Africa. And the British people were determined, back in the 1950s, not to have these race problems and race tensions imported into Britain. That was the 1950s when I was a teenager. So the question arises, how is it that 50 years later, there are millions of foreigners, millions of blacks, of browns, of yellows, every race and every creed and every religion in this country, and all against the will of the British people? Now, Sven, this is the question. This is the question. How was this change brought about against the complete open and vocal opposition of the vast majority of the British people? How was it brought about? And why was it brought about? Well, I would like to discuss, Sven, today, exactly how this calamitous change was brought about, turning our all-white, law-abiding Britain into the present multiracial, multi-criminal nightmare land that we've got now. And I can tell you exactly how this was done, because I was a witness to this ghastly, dangerous transformation. And the explanation is the party politicians lie at every election. For the last 50 years, consistently, the politicians, the Tory Conservative politicians, the Socialist Labour politicians, the so-called Liberal politicians lie at every election. I am old enough, and that's why I told you my age, for a very good reason. Because I am old enough to have witnessed at first hand 50 years ago, when I was about 16 years of age, I witnessed for the last 50 years, I have witnessed the consistent and shameless lying of these party politicians. At the very beginning of the coloured immigration into Britain, the immigration from the Caribbean and from the Indian subcontinent, starting in the 1950s, the Conservative Party won the election which changed everything in Britain. The election I'm referring to is 1959. That changed Britain completely. In 1959, there was a parliamentary general election. It was run by the Conservative Party. In 1959, I was 16 years of age. This is where my politics comes from. When I was 16, what I witnessed in 1959. The Tory Conservative Party won that general election of that year, 1959. They won it on the promise that they, the Conservative Party, elected into government, would stop immigration. And people were so naive, the electorate, the public, the people, believed them. But it was a lie. The Tory government, elected back then, in 1959, contrary to all their election promises, made no attempt to stop immigration. And this coloured immigration has continued to this very day. As I said, in 1959, I was 16 years of age. That's when I really opened my eyes politically. I used to discuss this with my parents. And I am here now from what I witnessed in 59. The political parties of the establishment are shameless liars. At every election, the Tory Conservatives promise to stop or to control immigration and then renege on their promises. At every election, the Socialists are never honest. The Labour Party conceals from the voters, from the electorate, from the people, the Labour Party conceals its intention to flood Britain with millions of foreigners. what they have had the audacity since to admit that they want and intend changing the demographics of Britain. In other words, turning our cities into very, very alien and very, very dangerous third world slums, London, Birmingham, Manchester. That is the policy and purpose of the Labour Party, deliberately to bring in millions of foreigners into our country. The present Prime Minister of Great Britain, David Cameron, leader of the Tory Conservative Party, won the parliamentary general election of 2010 by promising, back then in 2010, by promising to reduce immigration into Britain down to a few tens of thousands a year. I quote him, down to a few tens of thousands of a year. Last year, Cameron's government let in a record third of 1 million, a third of a million. 300,000 more foreigners were let into our country in just 1 year. I will give you another example. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, who has just welcomed and let in 1 million Muslims into Germany. Angela Merkel never got herself elected as German Chancellor on a manifesto inviting and facilitating the whole world to move into Germany and to Europe. No, she never brandished such promises around at her, when she was elected, because she knew that she'd never get elected on such promises. No, she said nothing about inviting the whole world into Germany at the last election. Nothing. The conclusion is, Western politicians deceive the electorate and deceive their own people at every election. So, if one logically, mathematically, statistically, and coldly examines the process of mass third world immigration, millions and millions of foreigners being admitted into white countries, then one sees that this mass immigration will lead to the destruction of the white race. For example, in England and Wales, there's been so much immigration that now one quarter of all the births in England and Wales are born to mothers themselves born overseas. Mothers born in China, mothers born in the Caribbean, in India, Pakistan, Africa, the Arab world, etc., etc., etc. The shocking fact is that now Muhammad is the top name for newborn baby boys in this country. In this country, we're talking about Britain. We're not talking about Saudi Arabia. Immigration, which started 50 years ago as some tens of thousands a year, is now running at hundreds of thousands a year into Britain. And if the mad German Chancellor Angela Merkel has her way, immigration will be running at millions of foreigners, aliens and third worlders pouring into our countries each year if she has her way. Quite logically, this will lead to the whites becoming a minority in their own countries. Indeed, back in the 1990s, the American president, Bill Clinton, predicted that whites would become a minority in the US of A. Some 20 years from now, in fact. And President Clinton welcomed this development. And now the fact is, in 2016, white babies born in the US of A are born as a minority. So they will grow up as a minority in the US of A. I would like here to quote a verse from the Bible, from the New Testament. I'd like to quote St. John chapter 8, 44. This is where Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious and political leaders of the Jewish people at the time. I think this confrontation took place some 24 hours before Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, "You are like your father, the devil. Like him, you were murderers and liars from day one." Now that is St. John chapter 8, verse 44. And I would like to denounce the modern politicians in exactly those same terms, as liars and murderers from day one. Because the fact is, the politicians have been lying to us for 50 years, and now we are witnessing the end of the white race, if this continues. So, dear listeners, this is the problem that the white peoples in all white countries face. Their politicians lie at every election, and they are leading our white race to extinction. Now, if Sven agrees, we can continue this discussion, because we have only just begun the introduction to the need for white nationalism. There's a great deal more to be discussed, because this is the most important discussion that we can ever hold. The white race is a race of geniuses. The modern world is the creation of the white race, and yet the white race is being destroyed by its own nominal leaders. So I hope you'll tune in when Sven is kind enough to invite me again on his radio show. In the words of Dr. William Pierce, thanks for listening to me. Okay, Sven?
Yes, if I can add some statistics to bear out just what you were saying there, Richard. These are the latest statistics in Britain. This is an Oxford professor. It says that white people will be a minority in their own country by 2070. It also says that white children will be a minority in their own classrooms in Britain by the year 2037. So that's only two decades from now. In America, white people will be a minority in America in 2043. And that's according to the official census statistics. So the situation really is dire. And if ever there was a need for white nations to come together to counter this threat, then it is today. And it has to be done. That is the only option that we have. We have to put aside petty disagreements, and we have to agree to support one another in this endeavour in saving the white race. It's entirely true, as you say, without the white race, there is no civilization, there was no inventions. There wasn't even an alphabet without white people. And today, all this is being lied about. Africans are being taught that they created the alphabet. White children are being taught that Africans came over to Britain and civilized Britain. They're teaching that Negroes came over and civilized Britain. This is a lie. White people were in Africa. The king of Africa, the king of the Vandals that came over from Carthage to Britain, was white. He was not a Negro. Negroes never even invented a seaworthy boat. So this is also the threat that we're facing, Richard. We're not just facing being replaced and being wiped out, but our entire history is being distorted and lied about to these people that are coming into our countries. They're not forcing their way into our countries. They're not. It's not an invasion like the ones of old. They've literally been invited in by people like Merkel, like David Cameron, that have invited these hordes into our lands to replace us. And we are supposed to celebrate that. We are supposed to celebrate this diversity that it's called. And diversity, we're being told, is a strength. And yet there is another quote from the Bible which says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. United we stand, and divided we fall. United under white nationalism we stand, but under diversity, of course we will fall. Division is not a strength. Empires of old imported other peoples into the countries that they conquered in order to sow division and make the people easier to rule over and occupy. And that's what diversity is. It's a tactic that our enemies use to enable them to rule over us easier. And along with this, we get the high instances of crime from these other races. We get the rapes and the murders. One white woman raped every 15 minutes in America by a Negro, and yet there are no Negro women raped by whites over there. So it's not just the fact that we are being replaced. It's the way that it's happening. It's everything. We are under serious attack, Richard. So you are quite correct. It is the most important thing that white people, what the most important issue ever for white people is what's happening to us at the moment. And the only solution to that is white nationalism.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Well done, Sven. Hear, hear.
Tuned into Radio Aryan.